joining us now. Becoming a frequent guest on the show, but I always listen with great interest to our next guest. State Senator Dan Roberts joins us from the Birmingham area. I think a pretty good couple of weeks here in Montgomery. You got your Senator. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. We're in Jefferson County, the winter wonderland today. So it's a great day to be alive.
Well, it's Fat Tuesday here, but there's no Mardi Gras, so it's kind of a kind of an awkward situation. But you had a couple of good weeks up there, Montgomery, and we talked a lot about your taxation efforts, and we talked a lot about taxation on all the CARES Act benefits, dealing with COVID-19, getting that was obviously a priority. But you're able to get a lot more done with this bill. We never really talked about the two in tandem with each other, but in the past you've come on and you finally got some clarity or rectified some oversights with Alabama's tax code that made us not competitive with other states. I think an all-around good effort from you guys, State Representative Danny Garrett. Well, walk us through what you were able to get done, and are you satisfied with the final product?
I am, Jeff. What was so fascinating about this all dovetailed in with the CARES Act, the PPP, and then the CAA, the three bills that the feds did that sent roughly $8.7 billion to Alabama, and the impact that has had to get us through this pandemic season has been amazing. So we were able to accomplish, really, it was a two-prong. First of all, we were able to take care of the CARES money, which was the stimulus funds that flowed into Alabama. Everyone received probably two checks with that. And then there's the third one, and none of those will be taxed a bit. And I believe that the executive branch never intended to tax that, and, of course, we did not. On one of the last times we talked, Jeff, we thought we would be back in a special session, and that never came to fruition. So as a result, the governor issued an executive order in late December stating that her intent was not to tax that, but it had to be codified through legislation. So we got that done in 5 days, dealing with roughly $8.7 billion of funds that came in to the state, and those will not be taxed by Alabama. And that was a yeoman's effort to get done. Yes, working together, Representative Danny Garrett in the House, and then I had it in the Senate. We got that done. And then initially I laid out with you the Alabama Business Competitiveness Act, which allowed us to make Alabama more competitive with our surrounding neighbors. And that's what we're able to do. And the first part of that is we went from a three-factor with double-weighted sales apportionment formula for our businesses, and we went to what's called a single sales factor. And unless you're an accountant, you may not understand that, but that puts us on par with our surrounding states. And an example of that would be Hyundai manufactures automobiles just south of Montgomery. Well, a lot of their suppliers locate on the other side of our state line and sell into Alabama because of that one factor, a single sales factor. Getting that done will now make it advantageous for, in the northern part of the state, Mazda Toyota is opening a facility there. It will now be more advantageous for their suppliers to locate in Alabama than Tennessee, Mississippi, or Georgia.
Yeah, because now you don't, at least that's one more feather in the cap of this.
It is.
The economic development picture, which it seems to drive a lot of things at the state level and in government. But now you don't have that working against you.
That's exactly right. Well, more than half states in the nation have gone to this in the last 5 years, and we were just a little behind. And if you remember one of our last conversations, we wouldn't have Coach Saban or Coach Harsin or any of our other coaches in the state that are recruiting players who want to come be superstars here and then play in the not want to make it so they couldn't compete. And that's what we've done with our businesses, because we all know they're competing not just against surrounding states, but other nations. And so we have set our businesses up to be competitive, and I'm thrilled to have been a part of this. The second thing, Jeff, that we got done is an interest limitation situation for businesses that, you know, of course, are borrowing money, and they've been limited on the interest expense they can do as they expand. So that's a big part of that. And then another one is global income, low tax. It's called GILTI, and that's really where logos are held. And we don't have a tremendous amount of companies in Alabama that had that, but we decoupled from that. And then lastly, one of the things that I'm most excited about is what's called throwback sales. You know, in your area, you've got Austell, and they manufacture boats that then are not usually domiciled here in Alabama. They're sold to the U.S. government, but they're exported, if you will, from Alabama. We are not taxing things that are manufactured in Alabama and sold into no tax areas. So, and U.S. government sales. And the announcement in Huntsville of Space Force, I believe this puts us in a very favorable position to have companies that want to manufacture things that will go to Space Force or to Austell or anything else that's sold to the U.S. government will also fall under that throwback rule. So that gives us a tremendous advantage over our surrounding states. Tennessee has throwback, but they don't have U.S. government sales. So it really, really gives us a competitive advantage that we have not had before.
Tell me this: what the implementation? How does this take hold? Is it all at once? Is it now in effect, or does you gradually implement it? Walk us through that.
Yeah, I'll walk you through. No, the bill for everything is effective January 1, 2021, and you had some companies that were selling into Alabama that approached us about rolling in over a three-year period or giving them the opportunity to opt out of the single sales factor. And in those conversations, I was able to communicate, look, we're trying to make Alabama the best place to do business. Our goal would be that you might want to consider locating in Alabama to make your headquarters here, as it would be advantageous to you. And at first, I thought they kind of laughed. I said, you have to understand, we're serious. We're doing everything we can to show you that Alabama is open for business so that you would want to locate here and grow your business. So that's one part of it. But I assure you, this is going to give us the opportunity to be terribly competitive with anyone else in the Southeast with what we've done. And I believe we'll see growth directly attributable to this that will benefit our state. And as you know, these tax revenues will grow, and I think you'll see the Education Trust Fund benefit, which puts our education system also more competitive as it has the opportunity to grow. So that's really the goal, is future Alabamians that are in school now, giving them the best opportunity to be competitive as they enter the workforce, and that'll be the result of what's taking place here.
I mean, it really, I guess it sounds like a supply side argument that you're making there, that you really are going to by eliminating some of these tax burdens, you're creating more business, and therefore they will be paying more in tax revenue.
It is, but our surrounding states have already done it, and we had not. So that was a major hurdle for companies' final decisions on locating here. You know, there's one international and one national aerospace group that have both been looking around for places to locate. We land Space Force in Huntsville, and so there, that would give us a shot, but we were still at such a competitive disadvantage that we probably wouldn't win that battle. And I believe with what's happened now, that, you know, Secretary Canfield is constantly looking for ways to help out existing Alabama companies grow and others that are looking for places to domicile. He now has extra tools in his belt that he can use as he makes presentations for them that I think will help him win in these battles with surrounding states.
Joined by State Senator Dan Roberts here on the program. Now, you guys really worked to make sure this didn't, that the state didn't, coffers didn't go into hole, or it was a net loss for the state, that you really got it as close as possible to being neutral, it sounds like.
We did, yes. As a matter of fact, the fiscal note on this is slightly positive. In other words, the result of all these taxes is that the Education Trust Fund will grow a little bit from this. But the goal that we didn't get accomplished is at some point on the corporation side of things, I would like for us to be more competitive on our tax rate. And we've gone into great detail this on other shows, Jeff, but we show that Alabama corporate taxes are 6.5%. Georgia's at 5.75%, going to 5.5%. Florida's at 4.4%. North Carolina's at 2.5%. So we're still somewhat at a competitive disadvantage at that, but yet we get to deduct federal income taxes, and there are only two states in the nation that allow that, Louisiana and Alabama. So that's still a hurdle that we've got to overcome anytime we're talking with someone new about locating in Alabama. But what made that hard, it's really a reverse mirror, if you will. If you look in the mirror, in the past, what the federal government has incentivized, we've taxed. What Alabama's incentivized have been taxed at the federal level. So if at some point we can accomplish this down the road, it's still a goal of mine, because we show an artificially high rate when you look at a heat map of state taxes across the nation. And we'll handle that at another day. But getting the other things accomplished was great work, working with our Department of Revenue and those on the other side of the aisle to bring this together to make Alabama one of the most competitive states in the Southeast to work and grow and raise a family.
It's just really decoupling Alabama from the federal and vice versa. That sounds like the challenge that you got to grapple with in the future.
It does. Yeah, we're much closer now, having accomplished this single sales factor and then the growth items that we just went through. So I'm thrilled for what we're able to get done. And it's a great day for Alabama, on top of no tax on the $8.7 billion that every one of your listeners have participated in, and them paying no tax on that.
Senator, something tangentially related, and I'll only bring this up. You got a few texts about it here. I don't know how much you've given this thought. The grocery tax, the tax on groceries in Alabama, a lot of states don't do that. And I don't know if it's necessarily an issue of being competitive with other states here, but maybe you could make that case if somebody wanted to drive to Georgia and buy their groceries or whatever. But
yeah,
do you ever consider a way to eliminating that, or at least do that in a way that's not as punitive on things like groceries?
We do, yeah. That's something that is a major burden for our citizens, and we would like to deal with that. The revenue generated from that grocery tax is roughly $427 million per year. So it's a big hole to fill if we take it off. And, of course, we're looking at ways to deal with that. That's most punitive on the lower you go on the economic cycle. It's a larger negative impact on those families. And I think we talked about this one time. Every piece of legislation that I work on, I always try to picture a family of four and the impact it has on them. And this grocery tax is terribly punitive for that model family that I see. So, yes, we're looking at ways constantly to deal with that. But that all goes to the Education Trust Fund. So it makes it very difficult to fill a $427 million hole if you just cut that off. One thing that does concern me, if we were to remove that, it would not surprise me to see counties and other cities think, well, we'll put a penny back on there because everybody's used to paying 9%, 10%, or 11% on what they purchase. And if we take 4% off of that, they may try to come back, and we can't prohibit them from adding a tax back on if we're able to get the 4% on groceries off. And that's always a concern, because, as you know, government always wants more. And my goal is for us to do a whole lot more with less. And that's something many of us work on together regularly, is how can we help our citizens be more effective and us tax less.
And we'll get you out of here on this, just kind of short little time, but Senator Marsh's gambling proposal, just kind of asking, getting the temperature in the room. I know you've been an outspoken critic of some of these gambling things in the past, but what are your thoughts on that early shot from Senator Marsh?
Well, I think Senator Marsh has worked incredibly hard to pull together. We have gambling currently in our state. We have what's going on with the Porch Creek tribe and their right to conduct gambling on their land. We have other places that are doing it. So we can't stick our head in the sand and say we're not for gambling because we already have it. So that's from the proponents. That's their main goal, is we have it here. We need to control it. And I understand that argument. As you stated, I am not for having gambling in Alabama. My beloved Brad and I have 7 grandchildren, and I told you who I always keep in mind on every bill is a family of 4. I think about that, and it's fascinating to me the consequences of welcoming this in our state. But Senator Marsh has done a tremendous job, along with others, in trying to put together what they think is a solution to this problem. But I am not a proponent of it, as you said.
Well, glad we could clear that up. But we're up against a timeout here. Senator, I got to let you go, but thank you for making time for us. We always do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, and appreciate you and the work you do, sir.
Yeah, you're very kind. Thank you. That was State Senator Dan Roberts.